We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and happy Saturday afternoon to you. It's a wonderful, beautiful, severe, clear, cloudless sky out there, and thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30 right here in the worldwide top floor of the worldwide headquarters to talk 1370, the right choice of. Appreciate you joining us every Saturday or when you can on Saturdays, driving around from 12:30 to 1:30. Be sure and check us out on the web at texasinsider.org, where we post about 10 or 15 articles every week just to keep you every day. I'm sorry. We're on the radio once a week, but on the web, it's about 10 to 15 articles every day. Keep you on the inside of Texas politics. As we say, you're either an insider or you're not. And be sure and check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well, just under Texas Insider, where we got about 40,000 followers and growing. And as usual, boy, howdy, what a week again here. I guess kind of driven more by the national stuff than state level stuff, although we're going to be talking about both state and national issues with the news there at the bottom of the hour. Another turnover in the Trump administration, a former congressman, now Secretary of Interior Zinke, and we all know about the John Kelly chief of staff, who's been replaced by Office of Management and Budget, OMB director Mike Mulvaney. And to be honest with you folks, just from a 30,000 foot view, things like this happen all the time. I was lucky enough to cut my teeth on Capitol Hill back in the late 1980s, early 1990s as a young man, when I thought, like so many do, you could change the world. And you get in there and you realize that politics actually moves kind of slow, and actually that can be a good thing. You do not want politics to move fast. Every now and then we see something like the, we've been talking about Daddy Bush, as I fondly refer to him, George Herbert Walker Bush, then Bill Clinton for 8 years, then George W. Bush for 8 years, then Barack Obama. I mean, those pendulums swing, and now we've got Donald Trump. But through it all, people get into politics, and we want things to move fast. But if you're a liberal, you didn't want things to move fast under George W., or you don't want, you're hoping Donald Trump doesn't move too fast, and Lord knows he's having his troubles. If you're a conservative, you didn't want things to move too fast under Barack Obama, and he pulled out his pen and his phone and started doing some things. And that is the reason I mention that is because it is frustrating for people who get into politics, generally, but usually almost for the right reason. I mean, the folks that often rise to the top and stick around to the longest, are kind of curious characters, and you wonder or think that they're not in it for the right reasons. They're in it more for the personal glory and attention than for actually making society or the state or the city better. But for the large majority of people, and this goes for the Bernie bros and the Beto mania folks today, and it was the Donald Trump Tea Party folks in the last 2 years or 10 years for the Tea Party, you just, and it's the hard reality. I'm sorry if I'm breaking bad news to you, but the good news is that government moves slowly, and that is not a bad thing. So suffice to say, my point there is that in this Donald Trump administration, he's going to have turnover. It's typical, especially around election times, and you don't understand unless you've been up there. And I've had plenty of friends who worked in the White House myself. The White House will eat you up and spit you out. It is You talk about not only a 24/7 job, it is a power sensitive, intense pressure cooker is the word I'm looking for there. It is a pressure cooker. It kills marriages. It ruins families. It leads to, you know, health problems. And even though 2 years seems like it's not a long time, don't be buying into all this chitter chatter that people are jumping a sinking ship or that Donald Trump can't keep his employees in any business, especially in this day and age. Some of you millennial types are us grownups who have kids in the workplace. People don't even stick around corporate America anymore for a career. They stay somewhere for 2 years and they leave, and that's okay. But change is a good thing, in fact, sometimes in government. And Lord knows we've seen that in the last couple election cycles here, most recently in Texas, where we had Beto Mania, you know, push the needle back in the state house. 12 seats went from Republican to Democrat, and the state Senate, they lost 2 Republican seats there, went Democrat as part of the wave that was more like a wavelet. But just remember that in politics, it's okay. And when you're hearing here through the end of the year, there wouldn't surprise me if there's going to be some more changes, that it's okay for there to be change. It's obviously the sock puppet media is what I call them. Marco Rubio, back during the campaign, remember, called the mainstream media the largest PAC in America, Political Action Committee, because they're constantly attacking Donald Trump and working for the, they're not even working for the liberal left Democrat Party. They oftentimes are the mouthpiece in essence. That's why you have Donald Trump and the media hurricane that is Donald Trump talking about fake news. But let's start with some of the things that have gone on, as I always like to do, focus on some positive things, try and be in the solution, not in the problem all the time, with what has happened this week, because there have been some local things, mostly congratulations Austin and my old friend Phil Wilson, who was on the tube and in the paper the other day, who runs LCRA and been doing that for 5 or 6 years, Lower Colorado River Authority. And when he's not running the LCRA, he's just now finished up his stint as chairman of the Austin Chamber of Commerce. I think I saw Phil on the cover of the Un-American Statesman today, statesperson, as I finally call him. I still subscribe to the Statesman, although they're a little bit more liberal than some of us would like, but they do a good job of keeping you in the know of what's going on, and we don't want them to be the state's man, but the states, that would imply that they're misogynistic, as I always say, as if anybody knows what that word means, but that's something to do with being a sexist. But congratulations, Austin, on the Amazon location. I mean, on the Apple location. We'll talk about that. And I've got my friend Brian Preston in again this week, hey, just Jim, out of the George P. Bush communication shop, now his own boss, and as well as we'll be joined by Ash Wright, who is a longtime Republican consultant and expert here on Fox News lately.
Thanks for having me.
Ash, appreciate you coming in. But first, let's look at some of the happenings this week. I did see, and some of you will have been, you know, inundated with the sentencing of Michael Cohen, the president's former chief counsel or chief advisor, legal advisor.
Lawyer. Yeah, he was his lawyer.
They keep calling him a fixer and this type of thing, which is just maddening. Although we got to understand, the mainstream media is seeing their life flash before their eyes, because I always remember when I was on Capitol Hill there in the 80s, this thing driven by ESPN, this thing called cable news came out. Cable was the big thing in the 80s and the early 90s, and it revolutionized communication as we knew it. Fast forward 30 years later, here we've got the internet, we've got your cell phone, and it is a industrial revolution. We won't know the real impacts of for decades, but it is killing and challenging, to put it calmly, the mainstream media, and they think they're losing control of trying to tell us all what to think and how to think and what to do and how to do it. But Michael Cohen, you know, my general, and this is all I'm going to say about it, my general feeling is that for him to be sentenced, normally if you're a prosecutor, you do not want your best witnesses and your best assets being sentenced, because that means they're off the table. If you're going to be prosecuting the president, if you're going to be prosecuted, if Robert Mueller's going to be prosecuting and coming out with some real, you know, valid citations against the president or against the president's campaign or the whole Russia, Russia, Russia narrative that nobody cares about anymore. I think it's a positive thing because essentially that means that he's not going to be available to get up on the stand and testify against Donald Trump, his lawyer. That is a significant, significant development that nobody's focusing on in the mainstream media. They're all saying how bad it is, how Trump's in trouble, yada, yada, yada. Uh-uh. That is the exact bass-ackwards, pardon my French, version. Robert Mueller and his team have taken something off the table. So in my humble little opinion, it might actually be good for Donald Trump. I saw that job openings in the Statesman and the Washington Post and the Labor Department, the Wall Street Journal came out the other day. The Labor Department reported on Monday that the number of job openings increased 1.7% to 7.1 million. The record was set a couple months ago in August. But folks, the number of people being hired, bottom line is that the number of people being hired are climbing. And that means that you're going to be being paid more because if there's a tighter labor market, and we've talked about it before here on the Texas Insider Show, that's why you're a Texas Insider, there are more people looking for jobs right now than there are jobs available. And that means that the prices are going to be going up. And the government reported the other day that said employers had added 155,000 jobs. We've been on a record tear, and October's the second highest level for the number of people looking for jobs. And I saw also that the jobless claims hit a 49-year low. This was buried in the Wall Street Journal. The number of Americans filing applications for new unemployment benefits. So while employment's going up and employers are hiring more people, the number of people, not surprisingly, filing for unemployment benefits has gone down to a 49-year low, folks. And we've talked before about holiday sales right now are giving retailers a boost. We're all out there spending our money this weekend. I mentioned the last couple weeks that I saw Scott Rasmussen had put out a number that said the average American this year is going to spend $1,007. Which is a record amount, and it's because we have more available income. Manufacturing strong. The Institute for Supply Management came out with some numbers this week. They looked at 18 different industries. 13 of the industries are reporting growth, most of them in computer, electronic products, textiles, food, beverage. And then finally, I was visiting with Annie Spillman over at the Texas NFIB the other day. They came out with their quarterly Small Business Optimism Index, and it's tied a 30-year high. It was set a record, a 30-year high, about 3 or 4 months ago, and it's gone sideways and down a hair, but now it's back up as things do go up and down. But the general trend is up, said the president of NFIB, Juanita Dugan. Small business owners are enthusiastic about the economy and have demonstrated their optimism by raising wages, creating jobs, and investing in their businesses, and they expect that's going to continue through the 2019 year. So then you throw on top of that the fact that Apple's moving here. It was on the front page of every newspaper in the country. The Wall Street Journal said the other day, the move is a step forward toward fulfilling Apple's pledge when it said it would invest over $30 billion in capital spending and creating over 20,000 jobs in the U.S. over the next 5 years. They said that at the beginning of this year. And now it turns out that the Austin campus is going to get about 15,000. And like I've said before, folks, we got to be careful what we ask for in this state because we're liable to get it if the unstable libertarians can be pushed back on and they don't kill the Texas Enterprise Fund this legislative session coming up, which I'm starting to hear a lot more chatter about, and we'll go to our graves living on off the benefits of what Rick Perry and Phil Wilson that I mentioned and Mike Morrissey and Jeff Mosley over at the Texas Association of Business. Folks, it is not, you hear the phrase Texas miracle that kind of implies an act of God or an accident. I had my friend State Rep Tan Parker the other day say, whoa, 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 Jim, it is, don't say Texas Miracle because that implies something accidental. This has been an intentional, a hard-fought, a very well-planned-out thing, and he's spot on. There is a lot of truth to that. And now all of a sudden Austin's becoming one of the hottest markets for job seekers, for home buyers. And this whole thing with Apple, we will never know the full benefits, folks. I mean, we're going to have more traffic, obviously, up there off 620 and in the Palmer neighborhood. But what a compliment for the city of Austin, starting off with 5,000 new people at its central Texas campus, upwards of 15,000. And it's because Texas provides incentives. We, first of all, have the employment, we have the educated workforce, we've got low taxes, we've got it all working for us, and now we're going to have a little extra traffic. But the side benefits of all of you restaurant owners and all you dry cleaners and all you accountants out there and the like, it just kills me to think that conservatives in the Republican Party are now starting to come after the enterprise fund and killing the goose that lays the golden egg. So we got a lot to talk about. We're going to get into the politics, and that's the 30,000-foot view. But underneath all this, we had this election that I still am convinced there hasn't been enough focus on a month ago. There is some real changes taking place in Texas. It needs to be talked about. You are a Texas insider, so whether you're Republican or Democrat, we're going to try and give you a little balance on both sides. And be sure and check us out at Texas Insider. But first, we got to TexasInsider.org. But first, we got to take a commercial break here at 12:45, and we'll be right back after that to talk more Texas politics with Ash Wright, political consultant and Fox News analyst, and Brian Preston right here on the Texas Insider Show. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere with the all-new Radio.com app. Check your phone's app store or visit talk1370.com/app.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame.
Oh, good job there, Matt Alvarez, producing the show today. Little Phil Collins, who's wrong, who's right? And I tell you, that's exactly what a lot of us political types are wondering or asking or discussing these days around the water cooler and around your local adult beverage establishment. But thanks for joining us, folks, and welcome back to the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30 right here on Talk 1370, The Right Choice. Be sure and check us out at TexasInsider.org, where we post about 10 to 15 articles every day, keeping you on the inside of Texas politics, whether it's Texas congressional representatives or the statewides or your state house. We don't get into the local city stuff too much, but in terms of Texas politics, you're either an insider or you're not, as we always say. And be sure and check us out at Texas Insider for Facebook and Twitter, where you'll see an article recently. If you go to TexasInsider.org, we got on the left side a column called On the Record, and on the right side is a column called The Scoop. And right at the bottom of On the Record is an article here by Ash Wright that ran earlier in the week, and it's entitled What's Happening to the Republican Party? We're joined by political consultant and Republican expert, recent of Fox News consultant or commentator is the word I'm looking for, and Brian Preston, who just left the communication shop of the George P. Bush Land Commission. Brian, you've done the party stuff. Helped Laura Ingraham even start her radio show, and we're sad to be seeing her leaving here before on Talk 1370. But Ash, I want to ask you, we had R.G. Ratcliffe in last week from Texas Monthly. The week before that, it was Scott Braddock from Quorum Report. And I asked them the same question I'm going to want to ask you, and that goes along the lines of the following. In 2012, Mitt Romney and Ted Cruz, that's 6 years ago for you Aggies and people from the left coast. 2012, Mitt Romney and Ted Cruz both won Texas by 16%. That's 6 years ago. 4 years ago, Greg Abbott defeated Wendy Davis, who everybody remembers for her pink tennis shoes, in what that was thought a difficult, and the Democrats were going to make some progress, and Greg Abbott thumped her by 20%. 2 years ago, Donald Trump won 9%, won Texas by 9%, and everybody's kind of wondering, oh, that's not as large as it should be. And now this year we have Ted Cruz winning by about 219,000 votes out of 8.5 million voters. It's less than 2.5%. That's within the stinking margin of error, which means Donald Trump is more popular in Texas, theoretically, than our own Senator Ted Cruz. What in the world do you think is going on here? And tell us a little bit about your article the
other
day.
Sure. Well, you know, look, Donald Trump is more popular than Ted Cruz in the state of Texas, I think almost in every measure. And, you know, I don't know.
And I let me interrupt you there, because George P. Bush was, I should mention, you were his political consultant. He just finished winning by he was the second largest vote getter in Texas after Greg Abbott. You obviously know what you're talking about. And I suspect when you say he is more popular, you're actually referring to some poll data, or
sure.
It's just not your off the top gut thought.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, look, it's Donald Trump's party. It's, you know, he's still the most popular man, king of Texas, as we like to call him.
Really?
As far as anyone that's, you know, elected in office at the moment. But I think what's interesting and what we really need to analyze about Senator Cruz's election, although, you know, he did come out victorious, there's about a 200,000 vote gap between him and Beto, which may sound like a significant amount of people, but that's, if you kind of break that down in political talk, that's 100,000 people that could have changed their vote to switch, right? So that's 100,000 vote, what I would call 100,000 vote swing, in one way or the other could have changed the election, which may sound like a lot of votes, but in the state of Texas, not that many. 8 million people, over 8.3 million people voted in this election. And, you know, we'll continue to do that as you know, plants like Apple that has been mentioned here, you know, continue to open. That's 15,000. That's a significant amount of 100,000 votes. That's a large percentage right there in one swoop.
And everybody's been wondering what their voting behavior is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so, you know, Texas Republicans have built a great economy, but it almost to their detriment in the future, which is unfortunate. But I mean, if Amazon had chosen to come here, Apple had chosen to do this, I mean, you almost cover 50% of you know, Republicans' margin of victory right there in that one, you know, in that one issue. And so I think Texas Republicans have to step back. And, you know, if you read the article that I put out, that's essentially my point is that I think we live in what I call movement politics. So if you look back through, at least in Texas history and in the across the nation. But, you know, if you look at Ted Cruz's 2012 primary race against David Dewhurst, if y'all recall, we had they delayed the primary over and over because of redistricting. But it was a movement essentially that came about and elected Ted Cruz.
The Tea Party was pretty much at its height and popularity.
Yeah, I mean, and laid the groundwork for that for 2 years prior to the election.
Absolutely. Yeah. Barack Obama had a movement. We saw that swept him into office. Donald Trump had his own movement. And so, you know, and then obviously Beto O'Rourke had his movement as well, which was a huge movement. And frankly, Texas Republicans are lucky that, you know, had he had the Ted Cruz movement where they were able to delay an election or something for 5 months or six, whatever, however, I can't remember exactly
Good
how many
point.
Months. You know, he probably could have gotten ahead of Ted Cruz eventually. And so, you know, time was on Texas Republican side. But now as we look at 2020, I think we have to take a step back and say that the reality is time is no longer on our side as Texas Republicans.
That really is a reality.
Absolutely. Yeah. So and I'll give you my example of why I think that, because in 1990, Rick Perry was first Republican to take statewide office in the state of Texas.
George Bush had become president. He had to be replaced. He ran and he carried on for 20 plus years.
Yet. That's right. So, but from 1990, when Perry won statewide office, Republicans took every statewide office in 1994. Right. So there's only a four, it only took 4 years for this state to go from completely Democrat to completely Republican. And I think Texas Republicans have to look up and say, if we may have lost one race, but if we had lost that one race, or we may lose that one race in 2020, but from that moment on, it's a snowball. We got 4 years before this entire state could be you know, liberal or to in blue, and obviously that spells detriment for the national party, you know, for all of the businesses and you know, for everybody that's moved in here. You know, Jim, I'll turn it back to you for, you know, any additional questions. But that's my current take on where we're at here in the state of Texas.
Okay. Appreciate those comments. And actually, we're at the top of the hour where we got to take a news break. Brian, we'll get you in here for the second half of the show. But Ash Wright, consultant and political commentator on Fox News, in the studio with us, and Brian Preston as well. We'll take a break and come back. Be sure and check out Ash's story on TexasInsider.org, and we'll talk some more after this break for the news on the Texas Insider Show right here on Talk 1370. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining us on this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle, and boy, great job there, Matt Alvarez, producing the show. I could listen to that song all day long. May have to dial it up here after we get out of the studio on a beautiful, beautiful, severe, clear, sunny day here in the nation's 11th largest city, as I always like to say. That would be lovely downtown Austin, Texas, and we appreciate you joining us. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30 right here on the Talk 1370, Austin's Right Choice radio station. And we're joined today talking politics and some of the things that have happened the last week nationally and in the state, and still looking and trying to figure out some of the things that are going on with this election in November and what's the demographics of the state and what's the future of the state. We're visiting with Ash Wright, who's consultant to Land Commissioner George P. Bush and been on Fox News quite a bit lately up in New York City studio, as well as Brian Preston, who used to work for the Republican Party. He's also been involved with entities like hotair.com and Laura Ingraham's old radio show back in the day. Brian, not to date you, but we let Ash
thanks for that
provide his input there. The most interesting thing you said there, Ash, was about the 219th vote margin, and I hadn't thought about it this way. If 100,000 of those folks had switched their vote, that would have made it a tie. You know, 200,000 is one thing, 100,000 is a whole different thing.
Easier to switch that many.
Which was very interesting out of 8.3 million votes. But Brian, I want to ask you, you're kind of more of a messaging guy, and you and I have been talking about this because within the Republican Party now, we've got this, as I call it, the unstable libertarian, hashtag unstable libertarians, and their sole source funders have been funding these semi, well, I guess if you look at the last results, they're unelectable Republicans because they're a little bit too harsh in their messaging. They're oftentimes hypocritical. They wear a little bit too much religion on their sleeve. And you've got a lot of the state leadership, it seems like, operating under the guise that they have to tell their local district, their local House guy or their local Senate guy, which will take in Fort Worth, Connie Burton lost there, and James's brother, Don Huffines, lost in the north suburbs of Dallas. And then you had a bunch of House members from the DFW Metroplex, all kind of saying a strident message. And maybe I'm wrong. I think we got a little messaging issue going on here.
Yeah, I think we do too. And I think it's good you've got a messaging guy over here in this chair, and you've got an X's and O's numbers guy with Ash over in that chair. On the messaging front, I think you talk about the Texas miracle. Mm-hmm. I call it the Texas victory. I mean, this is what Texas has established itself as, which is the best state in the country to have a business, to start a business, if that's what you want to do, mm-hmm. to raise a family, to own a home, to be a veteran, all these things. Texas is the best. And that's not a rating that's just come along this year. That's not a Johnny come lately. We've been the best since I've been back in Texas. And I moved back here in 2009, mm-hmm. and I grew up in Texas. Mm-hmm. And to see the Texas that was then when we were kids versus the Texas that is now, we have this diversified economy. It's not just an oil and gas economy anymore, good although point. That is booming and it's huge, especially out in the Alpine High in West Texas. You have this technical economy now. You talk about Apple coming in. Mm-hmm. 15,000 people, a very educated workforce in the next few years are going to be working for Apple right here in the Austin area and in Williamson yep. County, Southern Wilco.
And we lost State Rep Tony Dale up right. in Williamson County. The Larry Gonzalez seat went right. from Republican to Democrat. Paul Workman.
We almost lost Carter.
Congressman Carter yeah. was on the ropes.
And that's the two state rep seats that we lost in Wilco plus the close run that we had with Carter are, I think, down to some messaging issues and some demographic issues, but there's some messaging issues. The Texas Republican Party has the best record in the country to run on, bar none. It has a better record than the RNC has to run on, actually, mm-hmm. and it has a better record than any other state party has because of this Texas Republican National Committee,
would be, yes.
the National Party. And yet they didn't run on that. And a lot of these folks who have the Tea Party set that you talk about, they don't run on this issue. They run instead oftentimes attacking fellow Republicans. And that creates an image of a divided party. RG last week called it a party in a state of civil war. And the reality is both parties are pretty much always in a state of civil war. Mm-hmm. But you want to keep the arguments in the family. Mm-hmm. You want to keep them, you know, in the group. You don't want it to be spilling over out into the press and turning into these bruising primary fights.
Where people within each party get alienated right. or they don't,
I'm not
keep,
voting
their,
for them.
Don't yeah. keep their eye
I'm
on
gonna
the
stay
prize.
Home. Yeah, and you convince enough of these people to stay home. And what happens in a race like Cruz versus Beto? You lose that race.
Mm-hmm.
And that race, AG, a couple of these were much closer than they needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple of the others, you look at governor, you look at land commissioner, you look at some of these others, and they had pretty wide margins, but even those margins have shrunk from 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That should alarm us all. And so, yeah, I do think there's a messaging issue. There are some broad issues that the party ought to be talking about that resonate not only with the base, but also resonate across from center-right, even into left-center. And there are several issues out there like that. But they did not get the play that they should have gotten in this past election.
Yeah, Ash, I want to jump over to you because we were talking during the break about you mentioned the concept or the idea that if Beto O'Rourke had run for lieutenant governor or attorney general... Lord knows they what might have happened there, although a lot of folks would say the Democrats would have picked off a statewide Republican seat. I remember about a week ago reading in the Statesman, Abbott and former Dewhurst and former Perry consultant Dave Carney was quoted, and he said that they identified in the Abbott campaign 400,000 people who were going to start at the top of the ticket voting for Beto O'Rourke and then jump over to the Republican side and vote for Greg Abbott. They intentionally, this is the Greg Abbott campaign, intentionally stayed away from turning those people out in order to protect Ted Cruz.
Sure. Yeah, and that's, you know, unfortunately that's where we're at, but that's the current struggle with the Republican Party of Texas. And you know, a lot of, you know, one other, you know, point to, you know, if Beto had ran for mm-hmm. lieutenant governor or attorney general or something is a lot of those down ballot candidates, down ballot statewide candidates, let me clarify, but I guess maybe even locals are carried through by straight ticket voting. But Republicans 4 years ago did away with that. So 2020 will be the first year in Texas where we don't have straight party voting. And so, you know, it's going to be left to the individual statewide Republican office holders to carry their own weight. Governor Abbott can't come in and spend millions and millions of dollars for straight ticket voting. And the party's not going to be able to just mail out, ballot by mail and ask people to vote straight ticket anymore. And so that's going to be a challenge and a struggle. I think 4 years ago, 6 years ago, I can't remember exactly when they put it in. Republicans were on the incline. It made sense for the party, but now as, you know, we've had a Beto, Democrats have, and what, like I mentioned in the article, millions of additional new voters that are identified for them. So it used to be 2 years ago in 2016, you know, Republicans had, you know, a voter database of millions and millions of Texans, and Democrats were trying to get their 1.3 million to the polls. Well, now their 1.3 are really, you know, are really 4 million people that came out for Beto. And so now the Republicans are going to have to go back to the drawing board and actually find a way to message effectively to people. We can't just say anymore in the primaries, you're not conservative enough, or in the general, you're not conservative enough. It has to be actual hard economic messaging. Yep.
Let me interrupt you there, because I want to drill into one specific point. You mentioned in this article, again, folks, go to TexasInsider.org, and at the left-hand column at the bottom, you'll see Ash Wright's article entitled "What's Happening to the Republican Party in Texas." In that article, Ash, you write, and we made it a call out, for the first time since 1994, Democrats now know who their voters are. And I want to talk about the actual blocking and tackling, as they call it, because you just finished helping George P. Bush come in with the second largest number of votes. Greg Abbott got the most votes in Texas. George P. Bush was number two. I think Ted Cruz was down at number seven out of all the statewides. But if you look at the blocking and the tackling, Ted Cruz didn't have a statewide operation this time, which I think is fairly unusual. You all may or may not have. I know Greg Abbott had field offices. What about the blocking and tackling? Because you're kind of referring to that.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, and look, as far as George P., we did not, you know, have a robust statewide campaign, I guess, anywhere comparable to Governor Greg Abbott. But, you know, we did do a lot of things, but we focused in certain areas. And I can't speak, you know, directly to where the Cruz campaign focused on their, you know, their advertising, their mail, et cetera. But is what I saw and what we did on the Bush campaign with Brian was we focused on suburban areas and suburban women. And so we took, you know, we knew we were going to lose Dallas. Republicans have been losing Dallas for a while. We knew we were going to lose
the
Harris
county. You're talking about
But if you look at Collin County, you know, if you look at Denton County, Rockwall County, and Houston, if you look at Fort Bend, which, you know, I believe Beto O'Rourke took this time.
Yeah.
You know, we performed better there because we spent our times in suburban, urban areas where Republicans have traditionally not performed well.
Mm-hmm.
And so is what, and let me go back and I guess explain why we did, because if you take a triangle in the state of Texas and you start in Dallas County and you draw down to Austin, and then you draw over to, Austin and San Antonio, draw over to Houston and back up. It's about 80% of the state's population, but traditionally in a general election, 53% of the voting population live outside of that triangle.
Okay.
The thing is if you take the counties that would line that triangle, it's almost 50% of that 53% of rural Texas.
Really?
So it's your suburban areas that are living on the edge of urban counties that are probably working or going to school in urban areas but choose not to live in urban communities. And that's where we're losing voters. So when people come in to work for Apple in Austin, they're going to be living in Leander and Cedar Park and Round Rock. They're not going to be living in downtown Austin.
My friend Todd Webster, who was just retired as the mayor of Buda the other day, told me that Buda San Marcos is projected by 2030 to be 250,000 people.
Yeah, absolutely.
How are they going to vote?
They will. And I mean, unfortunately, if something doesn't change, they'll be voting Democrat.
Yeah.
The most popular U-Haul route in the nation runs from San Francisco to Austin.
Literally?
Literally.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so when you think about that, I mean, it's basically Silicon Valley to Austin is the most popular
Silicon Prairie
U-Haul route in America.
And U-Haul's got a problem getting their assets out of Texas.
I guess
I gotta fly them back.
So, you know, yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, the least popular route is from Austin to L.A.
Yeah, and nobody takes that route.
Nobody takes that route, right? But the problem is they're moving here. They should be getting an economic message, as Brian.
They should
related to. They should be getting a message of here's why you're moving here, and instead they get a message of you're not conservative enough on social issues, and
which is alienating
them from the day that they get here.
And Brian, let me ask you about that, because we got about a minute left.
Yeah.
it's been a little bit this election cycle with a lot of conservative Republicans. It's my way or the highway. They're non-compromising. It's the Texas Tea Party. Is that a viable message?
No, that's not a viable message going forward. They're not even a majority in the party. A good friend of mine, Glenn Reynolds, also known as the Instapundit, Instapundit.com, he lives in Tennessee.
Okay.
Good conservative guy. One of the things he keeps suggesting Texas do, because he sees this same trend that we all see, he suggests from Tennessee that Texas have a welcome wagon for folks that move here from the blue cities and the blue states that they're coming from to let them know why they are here and how great the environment is and how you keep it. And that's how you vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, we're going to have to take a break here before coming back for the final segment of this week's Texas Insider Show here with Ash Wright and Brian Preston. We're going to keep talking about Texas politics. And when we come back, I want to ask both you guys, what does Texas need to be doing in between now and 2020, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat? Because Beto is going to be a big factor in it. We'll be right back on the Texas Insider Show after this commercial break.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app. You got to roll with the punches and get to what's real.
Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the wrecking machine. Welcome back, folks, and thanks for joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We got Matt Alvarez rocking a little Van Halen there behind the glass producing the show, and appreciate your work, Matt. And thanks to Ash Wright and Brian Preston, two of Texas's better inside political prognosticators and analysts. We got just about 10 short minutes here, so I'm going to jump right in it, but be sure and check us out at TexasInsider.org when you want, how you want, and where you want. We got straight from the horse's mouth, the Texas politicians, about 10 or 15 articles there every day that you can look at. But Matt and, Ash and Brian, I want to jump in and kind of wrap up with what's going forward, and that's why folks are Texas Insiders, because as I mentioned there before going to the break, and there's been a number of articles this week, and it's going to continue probably to see more increase. Beto O'Rourke has become a national phenomenon. He mm-hmm. certainly is proved, as you said in your article, Brian, the week before on Texas Insider, he is a product. He is going to be marketed. That yeah. is kind of a bit of
a good product.
Of a good synopsis of how a lot of politics will operate in the future. But Ash, let's get your short thoughts first and then go to Brian. Beto O'Rourke, if I'm a Democrat and I'm looking at how to win Texas and how to win Florida and flip the Trump little dynamic that he squeezed out of victory, although it wasn't really squeezing out, Beto O'Rourke is going to be a factor, and Democrats are coming after Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm controlling Democrat superdelegates, I'm giving them directly to Beto O'Rourke today.
As really?
Brian yeah. pointed out in the break, in the latest poll, he was the only candidate to go up in yes. the polls. I think he's now at number 3.
Yep.
So Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and Kamala yeah. Harris haven't.
Yeah, they're going down behind Biden and Sanders.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. look, nationally, the Democratic Party is thirsty for a leader. Yep. When people are thirsty, yeah. they'll drink whatever water is in front of them right now. Beto O'Rourke is that water.
Good way to put it.
You know, clean or dirty or whatever, they're thirsty and they need somebody. And the truth is he's a good candidate. He's popular. He's created the movement we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to open a border-free Texas. He wanted to legalize marijuana.
On policy,
he's off on policy, yeah. but it's very similar to Barack Obama. He was so right. far left on policy that people kind of thought, oh, he's never really going to be serious. But he's a likable guy to people that are yeah. on the left or in the middle, to independents. And independents win. And independents win states like Florida, Ohio, Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we could list them over and over. But the truth is if you're looking at if you're the Democratic Party and you're controlling super delegate votes, you're going to give them to Beto O'Rourke because he has the best chance of picking off the state of Texas. They can dump millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into here. And if they pick off Texas, it doesn't really matter where Ohio goes or where Michigan goes or where Florida goes, because then they don't need all the swing states.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might be for a change that Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina matter in the primaries, and Texas is the only place that really matters in the general. And so this might be a monumental switch for American politics and campaigning.
And you mentioned, Ash, at the beginning of or earlier in the show that Texas Republicans swung the state from Democrat to Republican in four short years. I know I sure hadn't thought that it can happen fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Brian, what do you think about what Ash is talking about here on the national Beto impact?
Well, as Ash was talking there, I was thinking back to the last couple of Democrats who've actually won the presidency.
Okay.
Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. And they have something in common, which is they were likable candidates. They were good products. Neither one of them had particularly deep resumes.
Which was a huge asset in the end.
It was no record, no problem, is what I said in the Beto article. Beto made people feel good about voting for him, even though they may not have aligned with anything he believed. And they may not have known what he believed, but they felt good about voting for him. And that is a huge part of the intangibles in politics these days, is do you feel good about your vote? Do you feel good about the future you're casting when you cast that vote? And do you feel good about the wishes you're casting onto that candidate? Obama gave folks a clean slate, more or less. They didn't really know his policy. The same is true with Beto. On the Cruz side, folks knew his policy, but a lot of folks didn't feel good about voting for him for one reason or another. So that makes Beto a threat. And he is now the third most popular Democrat in the country behind Biden and Sanders. In this latest poll, he's at, 9% of Democrats. Biden was at 30, I think. But Biden and Sanders were decreasing in popularity. Beto was the only one who was increasing in popularity. He's bringing an energy to the party that is helping them nationally. Frankly, they do not have a deep bench.
Mm-hmm.
You look at their bench versus the Republican bench. The Republican bench, going all the way down to the local level in most places, is much deeper. And we have, to a great extent, we have Barack Obama to thank for that, because the 2010 shellacking put a lot of Republicans in office. The 2018 election here, though, put a lot of Democrats in office that we haven't even talked about yet, which is the courts that we lost.
Yeah.
We lost, what, 3-4 courts that were Republican-controlled, now they're Democrat-controlled. Those elected judges are now the Democrat bench, along with Beto, in this state. They can and probably will move around to other offices. And I want to take one more big stand while we're here, and that is David Lee Roth, definitely the best lead singer of Van Halen versus Sammy Hagar.
Okay, let's talk about what this means for Texas, folks, because you've got these West Texas or North Texas billionaires. You've got the state party chairman the other day being voted a salary by the Republican Party. It's sole source funded by a lady out of Houston. You've got essentially a bunch of, I think the general public perceives it as kind of like gospel preachers funding and saying, give me your money. And yet it's not going to stop, but yet we end up, as a result, having candidates that are problematic, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the millionaires and billionaires that are funding the Republican Party, which, you know, I'm in support of any level of contribution in the state of Texas, but those equal, you know, one vote, and that money's got to go out and get more votes. When it comes to the $5 contribution for Beto O'Rourke, that $5 equals one vote, even if it has to come in a million times.
That's a very well put point.
And so the you know, a lot of people,
because he got $1,000,005 contribution.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Because he raised it at $5. The difference is that $5 meant more to that voter than the $1 billion did to the far right on, you know, or I, you know, I don't, I yeah. didn't obviously donate $1 billion, but you know, the billionaire, I should say.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and so that's part of our problem, is we've got to go back to the people, back to the real grassroots. We've got to re-engage them in the party. We've got to create a more inviting party, a more open environment at our county party meetings, inside the SREC, inside the Republican Party of Texas. And that's the only way that this is going to turn around, which is what we did in the 90s. We kind of basically said, look, if you're living here and you're enjoying it, you like your quality of life, you are a Republican. And yeah. and we've got to go back to those blocking and tackling, as you mentioned earlier, to get those voters back.
Brian, I'm going to give you the final word. Connie Burton got $360,000 from these folks. She lost. Matt Rinaldi got $200,000. He lost. Don Huffines got $150,000. He lost. Jonathan Booz.
Yeah.
Cindy Burkett's got $130,000.
Yeah.
They're not. The money doesn't equal the win.
The money does not equal the win. A lot of folks think politics is about the money. It's not really. It's about the message. It's about the candidate. And one thing we haven't brought up, which we need to bring up, is reaching out to our natural allies in the Hispanic community. We haven't been doing a good job of that in the last few years. The party has done that in fits and starts. Needs to do a much better job of that. And that they may be the key to the future here in Texas. Probably are. We need to bring them in.
Brian, we're going to have to leave it at that. Matt's whispering in our ear, but Ash Wright, thanks for writing the article on Texas Insider. Be sure and folks go to texasinsider.org and look for Ash's article, What's Happening with the Texas Republican Party, at the bottom of the left-hand column. Brian Preston, thanks for coming in too. And folks, we look forward to having you back next Saturday afternoon right here at 12:30 to 1:30 on the Texas Insider Show, where we'll keep you on the inside of Texas politics. Enjoy this beautiful, severe, clear day. I'm Jim Cardle. Thanks for joining us on the Texas Insider Show.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.